Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Ripped, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I am your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. It's Micah.
Okay. Before we started, you're like, I don't know, I can't find anything on theme, so, oh no, I found one. Is it just a hero theme? Is that...
Oh, no, no, it's the Batman theme because...
Well, yeah, I know that's the Batman theme.
Well, yeah, so that's... Okay, because I wanted to do that because it reminded me of something I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, okay, I thought you were going, like, real deep, and you're like, oh, I know what I'll do. Greeks, they have the whole like Greek hero or the Trojan hero, the heroic concept. Batman's a superhero. That's the connection. That's
also, the Greek gods exist in like the DC universe, right?
I'm sure that they do.
Right? Yeah. Like, isn't Wonder Woman like an Amazonian and Ares is in one of the...
Yes, yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
Ares is one of the gods.
So
one
yeah, actually,
villains.
I definitely thought of all of that. It
good
definitely all connects
job,
to what we're talking
Thor
about.
Oh, man. Good job.
Before we get into it, though, we are back. We took a couple, like 6 weeks off, something like that. So we're happy to be back. Are we going to call this season two?
I think that that's a good idea. I think, yeah, off the cuff, we hadn't planned it, but yes. Welcome back to another season of Get Ripped.
This season, we're going to be louder.
Harder.
We're going to be dirtier.
Smarter.
And less offensive?
Nah. Who knows? I don't know. We're both.
We're getting canceled this year.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was going to say, let's make that a goal, but I don't know if I want to make that a goal.
No.
No. Yeah, we just had so much stuff going on in our personal lives that we initially were going to do a whole month of spooky Halloween stuff. We're like, hey, let's do October. Let's do a spooky Halloween thing. Micah will hate all of it, so it'll be great for the show. And then we just, Thor was like, hey, I'm really busy at work. And I was also like, hey, I'm really busy at work and I'm doing freelance stuff. I've just like got a lot of stuff going on. And Thor's like, what do you think about taking a break? I'm like, I would fucking love taking a break. I'm just immediately.
Yep.
No pushback from me at all.
Yeah. So we just needed a mental break a little bit. Just not even a mental break. Just we just didn't have time to do this.
Yeah.
And this is always supposed to be fun. And once it started to feel stressful to try and get it done, it's like, well, that's the opposite of why we were doing this. So sorry we left you hanging. We didn't even really give any heads up. We were just like, episodes aren't going to come out for a few weeks. So
yeah,
suck it. But
I mean, that's on brand, right? Like,
but hopefully, because I assume we're recording this before this comes out, obviously, because that's how time works.
Hopefully,
but
that's how it works.
Yes, we will go on social media and say, hey, let everybody know that we're coming back with a new season of Get Wrecked.
Oh, you know
and
what we do.
So hopefully you've seen that and you're back and
you know
we're happy to have you back.
We've got
to
have a countdown. I'll just make little graphics with a number and it'll count down to the episode coming in. That's what I'm going to do.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep.
With no context.
With
just
no context
counted,
at
yeah,
all.
Just post one every day. Perfect.
Yeah. Now you'll listen to the show and you'll be like, oh, that's what
that's
it was.
What the numbers meant. Yes.
Stars above. If you didn't get that reference, Kung Pao, my friends, you have to watch Kung Pao. Have you seen Kung Pao?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before.
You're right. We have.
I've seen it. It's one of those, like, it used to be on Comedy Central all the time.
Okay.
I know I've, like, seen parts of it, but
sure. Never the full thing.
Yeah, no, I've definitely not seen it.
That's got to be something that we watch together,
yep,
right? As a group. That is a group watch. Yeah. So that quote is, I'm not going to give you any context other than naming the character who said it. Mushu Fasa. That's it.
Love it.
Yeah. But so anyway, we're not talking about those mystical beings today. We're going to be talking about chaos. But Thor, do you have something to discuss prior?
Yeah.
Prior
so I was
in?
Thinking about this the other day.
Okay.
I was like just driving and I don't even know why it just popped into my head. You're a huge Batman fan.
I do love Batman.
Is Batman secretly gay? Do you think Batman a gay dude? Is his whole persona like a metaphor for being a gay dude?
There has always been a subset of fans, I think, who have always had a little bit of an inkling. Because he takes on these teenage boys as their wards.
Yeah, he has like this rotating cast of flexible young boys. like ripped, flexible young boys. And then just like Leonardo DiCaprio, as soon as they become adults, he's like, let's get him out of here and let's get him out of here and get a new one.
Let's get a new one. Yeah.
I need a new young boy to tote around. And the tight leather and his whole like. Like, his whole, like, persona is a metaphor for, like, hiding who you really are. You know what I don't know. I was just trying. I was putting the pieces together, and I'm like, wait, is Batman a gay dude?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to argue with you, Thor. You can have that. I could argue, but I just don't have the desire.
It doesn't change the character for me in any way, but I just had this funny thought where it was like, how has this never occurred to me before?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been brought up, especially the first iterations of Robin, because the first costume for Robin, he has no pants. he just has underwear on. And his name's Dick. So
that is true. Well, and even when they change it to Robin, that's like the gayest bird.
Sure. And also,
peacock, then Robin.
Peacock is, I would say,
then flamingo.
Yeah.
Those are the gayest birds.
What about a woodpecker? Don't you think that just the name woodpecker is.
Nah, it feels like manly. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how.
All right. What about Woody Woodpecker? I mean. No, nothing. That's manly.
You know Woody Woodpecker's getting with the ladies.
He probably is. Robin, using a bird as the symbol for a sidekick to a bat is an interesting decision. And I'm not sure why that was always the case or why did they pick.
Well,
that?
He was made in like the 50s or 40s or something, right? Like, he was like one of the old ones.
Well, yeah, so Batman was made in, I believe, 1942.
Yeah,
is when he was created, but Robin didn't show up until later, until like, I want to say the golden age of comics, because there was the silver age and then went into the golden age where things kind of changed and DC changed most of their characters.
Yeah, maybe they're just like, well, my assumption has always been they're like, well, we need a sidekick. What do you associate with bats? You know, like, nothing really. Bats are just kind of like with other bats. Should we call them Little Bat or Bat Boy? And they're like, nah, it's too.
I mean,
birds have wings. They do have wings. Like, they're just having a meeting. What else could we
call it? Toucan? No. No. Flamingo? That's too gay.
Way too gay. The hawk? No, because he has to see him because he's young.
Yeah.
And then they landed on Robin.
Robin.
Like,
nice middle of the road name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they made the character Robin because they wanted, DC wanted to create a character that new audiences could attach to. The primary audience of comic books is boys.
Yeah.
So they said, what better to connect than to introduce a superhero who is the exact demographic that we're trying to appeal
to.
Yeah,
no, it's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why kids our age like fell in love with the Phantom Menace. Like, young Anakin Skywalker was, everybody wanted to be Anakin Skywalker driving that pod race and like,
sure,
and like talking shit to this giant alien who could kill you and just being like,
who's Sebulba?
Yeah, Sebulba. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he just like talks shit to him and he's like a 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's great storytelling when they do that. Put like a young kid into a movie for younger audiences that they can like connect to.
I think there was another thing just to go along with that, where I think that I've got my time periods correctly in this, but comics were kind of coming off of a bad rap as far as, this was before things like ratings and things like that have been entered. So as far as the content and the material of comic books was getting a little bit dark.
Yeah.
So they were trying to rebrand and say, no, we're very kid friendly.
Okay.
And like, we'll go ahead and introduce it. I don't think that it was quite Comics Code Authority era yet, but that's a wild scenario. The Comics Code Authority was just absolutely nuts.
I think we talked about that on the Heavy Metal episode.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Because that kind of came, the Heavy Metal movie came from the Heavy Metal
magazine,
which mm-hmm. kind of came as a direct response to those, like that sure. heavy censorship from that era.
Yeah, well, they could do it because they were a magazine and not a comic. Therefore, yeah. they were not bound by the Comics Code. Same thing with Mad Magazine. So anyway.
Yep, anyway, Batman is gay, but now we're going to talk about Chaos.
Yep.
Your face. Allegedly. Sorry, I forgot. Allegedly.
We're going to allegedly talk about Chaos.
He was allegedly at one of P. Diddy's freak-offs. All right, let's talk about Chaos. Hey, folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show. Alrighty, folks. So today we are discussing the Netflix original series Chaos, the first season. And when first thing I even want to address, like right out of the gate, when I recommended this to you, mm-hmm. It was like a week after it had came out. And in that episode, when I recommended it to you, I was like, I love the show. I think it's really cool. And hopefully we'll get a second season because this one's going to leave you off on a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And since the time of that recording, it has already been canceled.
What?
So we will not get a second season.
Oh, no.
So we are talking not only about the first season, but the entire series of Chaos on
Fantastic.
Netflix. The entire 10 episodes. It is a retelling of Greek mythology in a modern setting starring Jeff Goldblum as Zeus, the god of thunder. His wife, Hera.
Yeah, played by Janet McTeer.
I think that's how you pronounce her name. Dionysus, played by Naban Rizwan.
You nailed it. Yep.
He's cool. I like him a lot. So don't take me mispronouncing his name as any sign of disrespect. I think he's great. I love his character in the show. Stephen DeLane is Prometheus. Aurora Perrineau as Riddhi or Iridis. And probably the other, what's her love's name? Orpheus, played by Killian Scott. You also get Canaeus, Hades, played by David, freaking Lupin from Harry Potter movies. David something.
He was Remus Lupin. Yeah.
Yeah.
David Thewlis.
Thewlis. Yeah. Cliff Curtis as Poseidon. I mean, I think it's a really cool cast.
Sure.
And I mean, most of the big Greek gods you see in this, I imagine you probably would have seen the rest of them in the later season if we would have gotten it.
Definitely hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you don't get to see like Athena or Ares, kind of like, cause basically the whole concept is Zeus is kind of a dick of a dad.
Go figure.
And really, so none of his kids want to come and hang out with him. So you don't really see most of the gods except for Dionysus, who is a demigod.
Yeah, you don't see many of the kids. It's mainly the siblings of the kids of the Titans.
Yeah. So you have Hera and Zeus, brother, sister, husband, wife, of course. Mm-hmm. and then Hades and Poseidon. Those are kind of the main gods you see. And then also Dionysus. But once again, demigod. And he's really kind of looking for Zeus's approval because he's the only one of Zeus's sons or kids that hasn't basically been like, you're a dick. I'm not even coming to hang out with you anymore or even see you.
Yeah, he's looking for approval at the get-go because the portrayal of him I thought was kind of fun because he really, rather than having him be overly confident, like there was that side of him where he was overly confident because yes. Dionysus is the god of wine, of partying.
The revelry.
Yeah, revelry. But they really focused in on the fact that he goes, well, I'm not really doing anything. Like I'm just yeah. partying. I want to do more. And he kind of has this ambition. But so he's trying to persuade Zeus to give him a promotion, so to speak, and give him more responsibility.
Exactly. It is a fun take on that character because I'm not super versed in Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when you hear the god of wine and revelry, like the very first couple episodes you get of him interacting with people, you get that's kind of who he is. He's
sure.
like the part, he's like a young party guy. But that is funny to think like, oh, the gods are just basically given what they are the god of. It's not like they just are the gods. You said, no, you're the god of, this is what you're the god of. Mm-hmm. And it's like this funny twist on it of like, well, even a god would get bored of that and would want to do something. He's a god. He has all this power.
Yeah.
But
I think that the initial Greek mythology after, because Zeus led the charge against Kronos and the Titans. And I think afterwards, Zeus and Poseidon and Hades all, I think that they pulled stones that were all different colors representing different realms. One being the land, one being the sea, and then one being the underworld.
Interesting.
Or the sky,
okay.
The sea, the underworld.
Okay.
And so Hades pulled the underworld. And in Greek mythology, Hades is not happy about being in the underworld.
Okay.
Because he's kind of secluded from the rest of his family.
Yeah.
So, and I think that in some versions of that story, he was kind of tricked into grabbing the underworld stone or kind of tricked into becoming Lord of the Underworld. But you're right. As far as like them and what they represent, it's not like Zeus was was like all bright and lightning based and filled with puffy clouds. Therefore, he was naturally the god of the
yeah.
sky and an Olympus. They kind of took on those roles, I think, after.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like they basically pick. It's a very human take on gods. And you end up, I mean, spoiler alert, folks. You know, we'll be talking about it. I'm going to kind of jump ahead to the end a little bit right now. Because eventually you end up finding out that I don't think we should go through this plot by plot because it's a whole season. We just can't. But yeah, you end up finding out that the way they got their power is they were people. And the Titans was just Zeus had an asshole dad. Zeus and them, they all had a dickhead dad. And he had so much anger and rage in him. It just poured out. And he just kind of like this power poured out of him. And that was where like godhood was born from. He kind of like stole the soul of his like his father. That's where their like initial power came from.
Yeah.
So it is like, I think this is a really interesting take on Greek mythology.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's pretty cool. It was kind of weird to be honest, because I've never seen Greek mythology in a modern setting.
Yes.
So seeing it, like it was a modern day Greece or, you know, a modern day Italy type of thing mm-hmm. was really weird. But I think that they did a really good job of mixing recognizable cultural things with how maybe culture would evolve from ancient Greece into a modern day.
Yeah.
While still keeping some traditions and cultures of that ancient Greece.
Yeah, where essentially it's like where Greece is the superpower of the world because that's where all the gods live.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody around the world probably... Actually, I like that they don't even touch on that. Is that you don't know if the rest of the world
sure.
even...
Even exists.
Well, you do. They talk about like Eurasia. Oh, they call it specifically like Eurasia and like the. So you know that there are other parts of the world exist, but you don't know if they worship the Greek gods. Maybe they don't. Maybe they have their own gods, or maybe they don't at all. I mean, I like that they don't touch on it, because if you're Greek and you have the gods, it's like, what care do you have of the rest of the world?
Yeah, I think that they kind of allude to that a little bit with the Trojans. They really treat the Trojans as I don't know, like fodder. The Trojans are kind of a blight in this area. They're kind of like a rebel group almost.
Yeah.
'Cause it's like their culture isn't around anymore. And in the story
they don't like the rule of the gods, basically.
Yeah. And it's an interesting thing, because in the story of the Iliad, the Greeks just burn Troy to the ground, right?
Yeah.
But some of the gods were on the Trojan side in that story. It wasn't like all of the gods were hanging out in Greece and only liked the Greeks.
Okay.
The gods, just as much as the Greeks and the Trojans were fighting, the gods were kind of like picking sides as well.
Okay.
But Zeus was given... Obviously, because Zeus is the king of all of them, he was given final say as far as like
who gets to win,
who gets favor, and that type of stuff.
And I also love this, like, I love just because on a lot of times in depictions of god characters, they're always buff, muscly, larger than life. And I kind of love that, like, Zeus is fucking Jeff Goldblum. And
yeah.
It's not that he's just arrogant. He's wildly arrogant. It's like his godhood is represented in his character.
He's also a bit unhinged and super paranoid.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's such a Jeff Goldblum perfect person for this character, because he's so good at playing kind of like a wacky wild card character.
Yeah. I think that that's part of what made him... terrifying in the long run, because like once the last episode, I think he really does a good job of going from just kind of paranoid, maybe a little loony type of king god to actually something fearful.
Yeah.
And like you see all the other gods just realize, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, like when he lightning bolts Hades in the pool.
Right.
It's absolutely brutal. I also love the depiction of Hades. Because same thing, Hades, think about the Hercules movie. He's like this dastardly, conniving guy.
Sure.
And I know you and I are both fans of the game Hades. And Hades, he's like this big, hulking guy. And he's
sure.
And he's not... once again, that's also a neat take on Hades, where he's more like... He takes his duty very seriously. And he just wants his... You know, it's like the concept of like kind of like Western like religions and stuff like that. Think underworld, think Satan, think like evil. Whereas Hades is like not an inherently evil character.
No.
But I think oftentimes he kind of gets portrayed by that.
Yes.
Or portrayed in that way. Or people even like me, I'm once again, not super knowledgeable on it. So for me in my brain, I would always think, oh, Hades, I would think of it in that sense of like, oh, and like an evil character. He rules the underworld and demons and stuff like that. But that's, A, I don't think that's really accurate for as far as Greek mythology goes, but this is just such a neat take where he's the one who's like reasonable of the gods.
Sure.
Of the gods you meet, he's kind of like the best one. He's the closest to like a good character.
He has his role and he's doing his role
dutifully. Yeah,
yeah, dutifully,
and he's not really happy about it, but he's like, I don't want to get lightning bolted in a swimming pool.
And it's kind of cool because as far as this portrayal of him, because in that big conflict between Zeus and Hades, he's the one who initially confronts Zeus and's like, we got to stop doing this because this is going to ruin what we have. Like I'm talking to you because I'm concerned about the family as a whole. Like it's not. So he's coming from a place of, I would say, love for the entire family. Like he's doing his job because he wants the family to be okay.
Yeah. And you kind of get the vibe that they don't come out and say this, but he's kind of the only one that Zeus will that can really talk to Zeus that way, aside from Hera. Like, Hera can too.
Sure.
But only so much, because also at the same time, that's his wife, and he kind of treats everybody like they're his property, like all the gods, people, everyone. He plays an absolute sociopath. Like, he's portrayed as an absolute sociopath, where everyone is just like kind of a plaything to him for his own means.
And he brings it up in the final episode where he's like, "We're gods. Like, we're gods. We're not people. You think you love that cat? Stab."
He just stabs his cat so brutal.
Yeah, it's wild. And he goes, you didn't love that cat. It's a cat. It's beneath you. We don't love things that are beneath us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the low-key ant and boot conversation that he had with Nick Fury.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was a very, very, very cool portrayal of the mythology. And also, I think that the characters were all pretty interesting. I'm not sure how I felt about Poseidon as a character, but
I like that guy.
I like him as an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him as an actor quite a bit. But as far as the character of Poseidon,
it didn't feel fully fleshed out, I think, where they kind of were just like, he kind of almost felt like Dionysus. You know what I mean? Like, he could have played a good Dionysus because he kind of had the same vibe of like, oh, I'm the carefree party god. He's just always hanging out on his boat, like banging Zeus's wife.
Yeah.
Also his sister.
So that's another thing, because I don't think that Poseidon and Hera ever had some type of romance.
Yeah.
So I agree. Like, maybe Poseidon wasn't quite fleshed out. They could have done something else with him, I think.
Yeah, they definitely took some liberties with the like the mythology and the story and stuff like that, for sure. But yeah, for me, I definitely, as far as the gods go, like, his felt the least, like I said, just didn't feel fleshed out. Like, he didn't really have it didn't feel like he had a specific role to play.
Right. I felt like his story arc, at least for me, was the least interesting.
Yeah, like, agreed.
Like, being the third wheel situation. I don't know. I wanted more for Poseidon. But I've always liked Poseidon as a god. I've always thought that he was kind of cool, which is weird because I hate the ocean. but I've always thought, I don't know, he was just a cool god. I've always not cared for Zeus. Hades has been okay. But if they would have made Poseidon be Zeus's like right hand, I think that there could have been some conflict that way. But rather than having him sneak around and like sleep with his sister / Zeus's wife to initiate conflict like that, I don't know. It was just less interesting to me.
Yeah, agreed. And I guess the main story, really, like, I guess there's two main stories. There's Zeus's story and then that of Rhydi or Eurydice.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Eurydice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've only read it, really. I mean, I guess they say it in Hades, but I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. So she plays Rhydi, and her husband is Orpheus, who I like the take on Orpheus that this, he's a musician. He's a famous pop star. He's like the most famous pop star in Greece.
Yeah, he's like a rocker almost. He's like a, almost like a John Mayer type of character.
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems like he's a pop star, but he seems like he's got rock undertones or like jazzy type of undertones, and is just making this type of music because it's making him famous.
Yeah, I could see that.
Something like Ed Sheeran.
He's a real Ed Sheeran type, yes.
He's a real Ed Sheeran type. A little bit better looking than Ed Sheeran, I think.
Is Ed Sheeran our Orpheus?
I think Ed Sheeran would be a great Orpheus.
Yeah, for sure.
I really do. I really do. So then who's Eurydice? Is it... is it Ellie Goulding?
No, it's just whatever the nameless, talentless woman he has sex with is. That's
okay.
No, I mean, I'm being silly, but like that is, and I think that's kind of part of her, like, because she's like married to the most famous pop star in the world, and her whole arc is that she feels kind of like neglected, and like she hasn't really done anything important with her life. And she kind of like resents the gods because they took her, you know, her mother cut out her tongue and devoted her life to the gods. And so she has this resentment against the gods. And she ends up marrying this guy. He's the most famous singer in the world. And she feels kind of like neglected and in the shadows. And her whole story is kind of like finding her purpose.
Sure.
And her purpose is like the most important thing of all time, which is taking down the gods.
Yeah. I guess we'll never know, will we?
No. God damn it, Netflix.
How angry are you, Thor, that got canceled? Canned?
I'm so bummed. And like I said, dude, literally, so within 2 weeks, which it's like Netflix is kind of notorious for doing this now recently,
that,
that they just act stuff that people really like and they don't release the numbers. So you can't really say how many people watched it. But
every review that I looked at about this show was really good. I mean, it reviewed really, really well, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just about numbers, though, really, would be my assumption. So.
Yeah, I must not have done well. It must not have.
Yeah, in the first 2 weeks, because you always know after 2 weeks,
is this gonna take off?
Netflix,
is this gonna take off? I don't know.
If there's an online petition, please email it to us because I'll sign it
to bring back chaos.
Yeah,
I kind of love that as the name of the
How
petition.
Did we get 7 seasons of Orange is the New Black or however many seasons they made, and
way
one
too many.
Season of Chaos?
Way too many.
How many seasons of women in prison trading bras and selling their panties do we need?
How many seasons of Grey's Anatomy do we need?
Oh my God.
And I know that's not Netflix, but how many seasons of Grey's Anatomy do we need?
To the creators of Grey's Anatomy, if you're listening.
Stop.
Take that money that you got for your next season. Just stop and donate it to the guys over at Netflix to make another season of Chaos.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. Do this for the greater good.
If you're really into doctoring, first, do no harm. Which means first, stop making seasons of your show.
Yeah. And second, heal our broken hearts.
Yes, with another season of Chaos.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm tired of looking at Meredith Grey's stupid, weird, scrunched up face.
I quit. Yeah. I would watch another episode of or another season of Chaos. I was left intrigued.
Yeah. And they left it. I mean, I bet you if you are making a Netflix show, you probably leave it on a huge cliffhanger, just hoping that will entice them to will entice viewers and stuff to be like, please give us one. I don't know. That's what I would do. If I was making a show for Netflix, I would 100% leave a huge cliffhanger at the end of every season.
Yeah.
Until I would had my story complete for that exact reason, because they cancel shit.
You should just have a character.
Such a bummer, man.
Just have a character in your show, Thor, that shows up only to tell the audience that they're going to be in the series 2. That's it. And they show up on the first episode and the last episode. That's some mystical figure, some shadowy cloaked mystic.
Just to juice the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And just shows up, gives some cryptic message, and then leaves at the end of the first episode. And then shows up right before it cuts to the credits. And he goes, I told you I would be back. And then cuts to black.
That's pretty smart.
Right? And then everybody's like, what? And, it gets the people in there.
You know what? Maybe we shouldn't be mad at Netflix. Maybe we should be mad at the dumbasses who didn't watch this show.
All of the people who aren't listening to this show right now. Because if you're listening to this, we know that you went out and watched Chaos.
Yeah, of course you did.
Of course you did. Can I banter a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I need to complain because there was a part of me watching this that I almost was expecting aliens to show up.
Okay.
In this. And the only reason that I say that is because I've watched 2 series. One is called Sugar, which is on Apple Plus or Apple TV, with Colin Farrell, and he plays a private detective in California. Awesome series.
Well, yeah, you said Colin Farrell, so.
Yeah. And then another series that I watched, I've been going through the Fargo series. So each season is its own entity.
It's like an anthology style. Yeah.
So season 2 was so good. Season 2 was awesome. Season 1 was good. Season 2 was amazing as far as how good it was. But both of the... I'm going to spoil both of them for you, Thor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, spoiler warning, folks.
For a show that we're not... isn't even the topic of today's discussion.
Yeah, I know that you might not have been expecting this, but really, you should have. So, anyway, at the end of the series of Sugar, you find out that there are aliens involved. It's like out of fucking nowhere. Just boom, aliens. It's like the next to last episode. At the very end of the next to last episode, the penultimate episode, you find out that the main character played by Colin Farrell is actually an alien. Okay?
Okay.
And that's the big twist in the mystery, rather than the mystery that he's investigating have a twist. And it's fine. It's fine, but it's one of those things where you don't need it. Like, it was a good thing. There was no... it was a good thing.
Yeah, like an out of left field twist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you're just like, oh, there's aliens, I guess?
That's so funny.
All right. And so I was telling Ashley about this. Whatever, I was kind of complaining. Same thing that I'm doing now. And then I started watching Fargo season 2. It is about, like, a local family of cocaine and drug smugglers getting invaded by the Kansas City Mafia. That's basically what's going on. And it's happening in like, Fargo and in that whole, like, Minnesota, North Dakota area.
It's tough mafia.
Yeah. Real nice accents, though. But so, in the penultimate episode, the very last... or next to last episode, when all the shit is breaking down, there's a fight between both leaders and both gangs. All of a sudden, boom, giant spotlight shows up. There's a fucking UFO in the sky. Right? And, like, the main, I'm going to use the term villain and hero, because there's a cop that you're kind of following through the entire thing. They're fighting... like, fist fight rolling around on the ground, the giant spotlight shows up, so I'm thinking, oh, it's a helicopter. Like, they got a SWAT team showing up type of thing.
Yeah.
But then you look up, they look up, and it's a UFO beaming down its spotlight. And so...
of course, yeah.
And so the villain, who is currently winning the fight, choking out the cop, looks up confused because... he's just as confused as I am as far as why is there a UFO in the sky?
I guess they don't show up when you expect them to.
Yeah. And so then the cop, like, stabs the guy in the neck so that and that's how he wins the fight. And then the next episode, nothing is brought up about the UFO. The only thing that shows up is Ted Danson is in this series.
Uh-huh.
And Ted Danson plays the other cop's, like, father-in-law. And he goes, so what are you going to do about that report? And the main character goes, well, I might leave out the whole spotlight thing. And that's all they say about it. All right? And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why do that? Why put that in there? It was a great show. It needed none of that. It didn't need aliens. You're in North Dakota.
Well, you got to keep in mind, as the Fargo movie and each season tells you, these are entirely true stories.
Oh, that's right.
And things have been changed. So that's part of the story. So it had to be included.
It had to be real. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm so frustrated.
It had to be included because they couldn't leave it out because they're telling entirely true stories.
Out of respect for the dead. Yeah. Out of respect for that guy who got knifed in the neck because he saw a UFO.
Yeah, he got distracted by the UFO spotlight.
Drove me nuts.
Dude, that's...
and it's like... two series that I watch in a row.
That's so funny. That one specifically, though, I wouldn't be... I don't know how much the Coen brothers have to do with the TV series.
Yeah, I think
they're probably EPs on it, I would assume.
Yeah, but, like, I think so.
But, like, that kind of feels like just, like, a fun joke that they would play on the audience of, like, we're just going to bring in this completely unexpected UFO thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, not address it.
At all.
So for that one, it kind of... feels like it makes sense.
I got so frustrated, man.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
I got so frustrated. So watching this, I was like, there better not be any fucking aliens.
No, but there is a guy who is transformed into a minotaur beast.
That is true.
Dude.
Yeah.
I also, that's probably my favorite storyline.
Okay.
Is the...
The thing of Minos?
Minos, and what his sister's name, do you remember her name off the top of your head?
Ariadne. It's A-R-I-A-D-N-E.
They just call her Ari, right?
Yeah, they call her Ari for short.
Dude, I think she's one of my favorite characters in
the
show.
She was pretty cool.
I think acting-wise, I mean, she nails it. She's like a she has like a real magnetic personality. Like she, every time she's on screen, I mean, she's an incredible actress. I like the story they're telling with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's a really like nuanced, multidimensional character. And I love that this whole time they're trying to, you know, Zeus is trying to prove like, oh, the fates, if we could break one of the prophecies.
Yeah.
Then we prove that the fates don't have control. And they're kind of, were you surprised when she ends up killing her dad? And when she says, like, she repeats the prophecy that the first to draw breath is the one that kills you. Did that like catch you off guard that the whole thing was like a red herring?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because they had been saying the whole way through, because the whole prophecy that they're trying to avoid is, it says, you know, the first to draw breath will kill you.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, there's these twins and the boy was born first, so we have to kill him. But the dad, he's sentimental, so he can't kill him because he's a good guy. So instead he traps him down
in this basement,
turns him into a monster, and then uses him to torture his political enemies.
Because he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. He loves his son. And so the whole time they're like, okay, they're going down to kill the Minotaur, because once the Minotaur is dead, then he can't kill
he's trying to break the
president of Athens
or
Greece or wherever they are. Like they're like city states
or
whatever. So like Athens, I think.
Ithaca? No, I guess was it Ithaca?
Ithaca, yeah, because Athens would be where Athena is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. And then, but the whole time they're kind of like, I love the mom. She's like, kind of blames the daughter her entire life for that. Because she thinks that the son died, that they let this daughter think her entire life that she smothered her brother in her sleep.
Yeah, because he's a good guy.
Yeah, and the whole time there's this running theme of like, your brother was so sweet and so quiet. And
sure.
You came out crying. You came out screaming. And like, so the whole time, literally the red herring, they're telling it to you directly to your face. And I did not pick up on the fact that like, oh, she's going to be the one that kills the dad.
Yeah, because she actually was the one who drew the first breath.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though she wasn't technically the
first
born.
And like, so it should have been so foreseeable.
Yeah.
But it was written in a way that it wasn't at all, until it was at the moment where they're wrestling. And the dad is like fighting with the brother, mm-hmm. where it's like, as soon as that, I was like, oh, she came out screaming. And then sure enough, shortly after that, she stabs her dad and is like, the first to draw breath.
Yeah.
Such a good scene. But
it was pretty good.
I loved their storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. I think overall this was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riddy's storyline, I like. We started to talk about that and then got sidetracked. But
yeah, that one was fine.
I liked it. I like the take on the underworld, how they can eat and smoke, but like they just can't taste anything and they can't actually feel.
Yeah. They just go through the motions.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like, once again, it's a fun take on, people think of like an underworld, they think of like pain and suffering, but it's like, it's just monotony.
Yeah.
Like that's worse than any, like the concept of being tortured probably seems incredible to somebody who can't feel anything but is forced to live.
Yeah, and that's,
you know what I mean, to live with no pleasure or no joy, and you just have to go through the motions for hundreds of years, and you can't taste food. Like it was such a fun take on the underworld.
Yeah,
it made me think of God of War, the new one. When we played that, when you go to hell.
Sure.
And hell there is like, instead of fire and brimstone, it's like
cold
and desolate and nothing. It made me think of that, where it's like, yeah, when everything's just gray, everything's gray and you can't taste anything. And there's just endless monotony for hundreds of years. Like, that's so much worse than like fire and brimstone and scary stuff. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I also liked the depiction of it, how they just did black and white, high contrast,
yeah,
when
they
were in Hades.
Yeah, grayscale the whole time, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
It was honestly kind of hard to watch at parts, because you're like, sometimes. God, I hate that it's just still all in black. But like, so it almost was like this meta, like, you started to feel tired of it.
Yeah. How'd you feel like, about Medusa as a character?
I liked Medusa. It was funny. That one felt a little campy, I guess, compared to like the rest of the show kind of felt grounded sort of
emotionally,
not in reality, but yeah, emotionally.
Yeah.
Whereas she just felt like, I liked her. It was fun, but it was definitely kind of campy.
It was definitely
felt like kind of like obvious comic relief, like obviously meant to be a little bit of comic relief there.
Yeah. I thought it was funny that
like that actress though. I don't know her name off the top of my head. But.
Yeah. I'm not sure either. I thought it was funny that they just gave her a headdress so that they didn't have to pay for CGI snakes for the majority of the show.
Yes.
We'll just put a headdress on her. Is that what it is? A headdress? Like, she had a wrap thing around her head.
Yeah, she had a cancer wrap over her hair.
Yeah, whatever it's called. But, yeah, overall, I thought that this was pretty fun. I liked that it was kind of lighthearted.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself too seriously. Yeah,
That's a good way to put
it. It definitely shifts. It does a good job of shifting between like some really emotional stuff. Like the story between Riddhi and Orpheus is, you know, I also like when he finally gets to her and she's like, I didn't ask you to come to, you know, like, because you're kind of thinking he's kind of like a douche the whole time.
Yeah.
But then once he actually gets there and she's just like, no, like, why did you, and like, you get what, you kind of get both of their perspectives, where like, you understand why she feels the way she does, but you're also like, oh dude, that's brutal. Like, he traverses the underworld to save her and she's like, no thanks, I'm good, why are you even here?
Yeah, at that point I was just like, dude, just grow a pair and walk away, just leave. All right, just suck it up and walk away.
Yeah, but I kind of like, once they get out of the underworld, I kind of like the way they leave it, almost like lovingly, where he accepts, like, yeah, I was kind of a dick, and like, so they leave on a good note. I like it, it does a really, what I was getting at is they do a really good job of shifting gears, where there are some like very silly fun parts, but then they get into some kind of like dark and heavy emotional stuff, and it transitions really well. It always feels like natural and not forced.
Yeah, I would agree. I think overall it was fun. Yeah, I think it's a good recommendation. It's a shame that there's not going to be a season two. That's kind of a bummer. I like Jeff Goldblum. I think he really carried a lot of this show.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. So that's frustrating. If there is a petition titled Bring Back Chaos, I'll sign it.
Yeah.
Let us know.
If not, maybe we'll make one.
Yep, that'll
go far.
Seems
like a lot of work, but
it does sound like a lot of work.
Okay, you know what? Actually, we won't do that. If you have one, just send it to us. We'll sign it, but
we're not that invested.
We're not doing the legwork on this.
Sorry, guys.
There's other stuff to watch.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's other stuff to watch. We don't care that much, actually. Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, at the beginning of this episode, I was like, this is the most important thing to me ever now.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it faced with the potential of making a digital petition, I'm like, I don't have that kind of time.
I just can't do it. Yeah. Speaking of moving on, it's about that time that we move on to ratings.
Okay, you're not gonna like it.
Okay.
Cats Have Nine Lives.
I knew you were gonna do dead cats.
So on a scale of 1 to 9 stabbed kittens, 9 being the best.
9 being the best stabbed kittens. Okay. Oh man, 9. That's 9 is an interesting dividing number. I'm gonna go with 7. I'm gonna go with 7 dead cats. We can leave 2 kittens, Pern, in Dionysus's arms.
That's plenty. You don't need more than that.
Yeah, I agree. I had a student once who had like 20 cats in her house.
Yeah, when I met my wife, her and her mom and her sister lived in a two-bedroom apartment with like 13 cats.
Yeah.
And they were, it was actually kind of awesome though, because I would go around there and just cuddle like 5 cats at once. It was the best, dude.
Yeah. But if you died, you'd be you'd be food.
Good,
like,
yeah.
You'd be food in...
I'm dead. What do I care?
I'm just saying. Like, what if somebody wanted to find you?
I'm dead. I don't care if they find me.
Okay. All right. All right. Get eaten by cats, I guess.
That's my plan.
All right. So, 7 out of 9 dead cats. Are they stabbed by Zeus?
Yeah, specifically
okay, yeah.
Stabbed
seven
by Zeus.
7 out of 9 victims of Zeus that are cats. You could have gone with bees too. That's another number we could have chosen.
Yeah, I just didn't have a number.
Yeah, I mean, because there's so many of them.
I mean, I could have used souls, like trapped souls.
Yeah, that
like souls frozen in time or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, no, cats is that's good. So, what do you guys think as far as chaos? Did you like it? Did you not like it? How'd you feel about the shifting tones? Jeff Goldblum, how do you feel about the fact that there's not going to be a second season? Do you care enough to make a Google form and send it out to make a petition to get this show back on the road? Let us know.
We're looking at you, Reddit. Do something good for once.
Hey, they have...
No, I'm kidding. There is many OnlyFans models getting their names out on Reddit, so, you know.
Sure, yeah.
It's just a platform helping small business owners.
Yeah, totally... Totally positive influence on the internet, Reddit is. yeah, so you can get a hold of us. You can send us a recommendation if you would like. Even you can do that on a number of
platforms.
Thank you, Thor. It's been a bit. A number of platforms. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Threads, or you can send us an email at getrecpod@gmail.com.
That's GITRECDPOD @gmail.com. It's been a while since I've spelled that.
Yeah.
Still got it.
Still got it. And I still don't. next week, Thor, we are going to take a recommendation from my wife.
Nope.
No?
No. Next week is spooky season.
You're
our spooky
right.
episode.
Our whole
our
month
spooky,
of
Spooktober. Yeah.
That's right.
Our whole month of Spooktober is being condensed into one episode in the second week of November.
Yeah. Deal with it. All right? It's a Halloween movie based on the Pilgrims for Thanksgiving.
None of that's true. It is another Netflix original, though.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm thinking of that other movie.
Nope. No, so we are being joined by Zach IMDZ Bolton to discuss a series that Zach and I have been discussing for, probably since the inception of this show about getting Micah to watch. And there are a number of reasons why we were like, I don't know if he would like this. But we've been talking about it so long, we were like, it's finally just time to do it. So we are going to be discussing the show Midnight Mass.
Midnight Mass.
On Netflix. It is a 7-episode miniseries from Mike Flanagan, who's done Haunting of Hill House, House of Usher. He kind of does a bunch of Netflix miniseries. In my personal opinion, I kind of like everything that he's done on there. I'm not a huge horror fan.
I haven't seen anything that he's done.
Yeah, so Micah hates horror. Zach loves horror. I'm kind of in the middle, but I really like this. So we're going to get together and we'll see how Micah feels about it.
Yeah, I really like that you guys are plotting it, too. Like, from day one, it sounds like just plotting this, waiting for the time.
Yeah, we've been waiting.
So, yeah, next week, we're going to be getting into Midnight Mass, 7-episode miniseries on Netflix. Go watch it. Who cares if it's November? I know that you still like to be a little spooky. All right, just have this be the crescendo. Go watch Midnight Mass if you haven't already. And then next week, come back and you can probably hear me rant about it. That's what I'm going to guess.
Oh, well, you definitely can. Terminator Timelines, that episode has already been recorded. And
I rant.
He rants a bit.
I rant.
It's a good episode, though.
Yeah, it's a great episode. Good times were had. So next week, come check us out. Midnight Mass. As always, folks.
Nope.
Until next time, folks.
As always.
You get wrecked out there. Because it's season 2.
Yeah. Wait, what?
We're in season 2.
So what's that mean?
We're going harder, faster, stronger, more crazy.
Okay. I'm turning Mexican too.
I was just gonna say, not more Mexican.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, let's take it from the top.
The cancellation.
From the top.
Until next time, folks.
As always.
You get wrecked out there.
Stay wrecked.
Riggedy, riggedy, wrecked.
Ay, ay, ay.